Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And, of course, I want you to holler at me. So, call in number is 347-826-7435. Once again, that call in number is 347-826-7435. Holler at your boy. And, of course, I say this because I know some of y'all are shy. You can email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Your comments, questions, concerns, I got you. Anytime. Whatever you want to talk about. No topics off limit. And, of course, if you're listening live right now, feel free to jump into the chat room. Give me a question. I'll answer it. I know some of y'all just like to ghost listen and say, I heard the show. I wanted to say something, but I couldn't. I wouldn't. I shouldn't. Anyway, I normally start off with things that crazy people do, and I'm gonna do that anyway. I was reading Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather are in talks for a rematch. Like, we didn't see the first one. I'm like, I saw one of the most boring fights ever. I was standing up and I almost fell asleep and fell down in the living room of the homie's house that we were watching the fight at. It was so boring. We were all standing there, like a whole bunch of grown men and women standing there trying not to fall asleep. You know, we were like on the airplane, just all like had our heads on each other's shoulders, like, oh, keep me awake. Don't drool on me. Fight was so boring. Most of you who watched that fight know what I'm talking about. So, one, the fact that they're talking about a rematch is like, really? Two, the fact that Manny Pacquiao comes out this week and like, yeah, well, you know, I had a dream about it, and I knew I would lose to Floyd Mayweather thanks to divine intervention. The Lord informed him well in advance that he would lose. Now, he said this on the ANC network, some show called Head Start in the Philippines. He said on air, hey, he would not be victorious. One month before the fight, he dreamed he would lose the decision. And I quote him when he says, he was thankful God had revealed the outcome beforehand. I smiled because I already saw what would happen even before. So he knew he was going to get his ass whooped. And he was happy going into it. I mean, the $100 million that he cleared for the fight had nothing to do with the happiness. It was the fact that, hey, God told me I was going to get my ass kicked, and I was happy to receive that bonus of knowledge. Yeah. So somebody tell me why they are negotiating a rematch and why I want to watch it. I mean, I didn't pay for it the first time, but I did because I actually watched the fight, and that was like paying for it because I put my time in and was like, oh my goodness, I'm actually watching this fight. So anticipated and so terrible. Anyway, yeah. So, what would a crazy person do? be in anticipation for the rematch of one of the most boring fights that I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, not gonna happen. But good luck selling that to the public. I hope it works out for you. No, I don't. But anyway, porn stars giving pep talk to your softball team. That is not a good look. That is the thing that crazy people do. There was a softball team, Nyack College, if I said it wrong, I don't care. The now fired coach, Kurt Ludwigsen, he was fired because I guess he was fondling breasts and ordering his softball team to sit in his lap. And he's accused of telling a pitcher after a loss, "I am going to ear fuck you. This is your punishment. You are going to stand here and take it." I quote. Then he allegedly began to lick her ear. On top of that, Mr. Ludwigsen, had the bright idea that, hey, I'm going to invite a porn star, Allie Hayes, to come in and deliver life counseling sessions to the team at his house. I've had porn stars on the show, and it's all good, but you have a porn star come to your house to give life counseling sessions to your softball team. You're a coach. Now, I can speak to this a little bit. I am a basketball coach, and I don't like to talk my personal life, but I am a basketball coach, and from time to time, I might, if I can find somebody that I think could motivate my team, that could capture my team's attention, hey, you mind coming out, speaking to the team, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't do it at my house. And it would not be a porn star who, of course, is like, yeah, I love press, but, I feel like, and this is Miss Allie Hayes speaking, I'm quoting her at least, I feel like when I went there, it was positive. No one was uncomfortable. I talked about my life, the motivating factors behind my going into porn, and how I'm an entrepreneur. So for them to say it was offensive is strange. Now, if you want to motivate kids, I'm thinking that you would get like softball players. Maybe a softball player that had a hard time, a professional softball player that had a hard time. I fail to see how a porn star can motivate a softball player to, like, yeah, you know what? You know, connecting porn to doing good on the softball field. I mean, just, yeah, oh, you're an entrepreneur. I mean, I'm trying to get, maybe I don't understand. Maybe I would have to be a softball coach to understand. Or if there's some ladies out there who can explain to me what I'm missing, because I could be missing it. Porn stars can motivate sports, young ladies in sports, to achieve at a higher level. If somebody can, please call me up, 347-826-7435. I would love your perspective, because, or email me, Let me know what I'm missing, because I'm not getting it. I mean, he had me at, I'm going to ear fuck you, and licking the ears of his kids. That's like nasty. But, you know, it's the stereotype of having a guy coaching girls. I mean, it's unfortunate. But, you know, guys like him ruin it for everyone else. Because, I mean, you could bring, you know, there are some people who actually do the job and do it well. And then you have idiots like this who, do it the exact opposite of well. But dare I say unwell? Anyway, so speaking of unwell, I saw a story about a guy who killed his mother. California man, Omar Pettington. He used a tomahawk that was hanging on the wall. I mean, that right there is just different. But he used a tomahawk that was hanging on the wall to strike his 64-year-old mother before shooting her in the back at least 7 times and cutting open her chest to pick up her heart. And then he put the heart back in her body, and then reportedly, and this is on top of all the other craziness, he masturbated because, and I quote him, he said he needed to be with himself and needed a release after the event. He allegedly said that it felt good when he was arrested. I mean, and he says that his mother was yelling at him, and during the argument, she pointed a gun at him, which prompted him to grab a hammer off the bedroom wall to knock the gun out of her hand. Then he left the room and returned with the tomahawk. Then, and this is what he told the police, he allegedly told the police that after he killed his mother and did all that other foolishness, he left the home, had a few beers with friends, booked an airline ticket for Chicago. This is why I do this segment, the things that crazy people do. You kill your, I mean, you don't just kill your mother. You hit her in the head with a tomahawk. You shoot her several times, and then you pull her heart out, then place it back in the body, and you masturbate because, I'm as someone who may or may not have thought about masturbating in the past, thinking of it as a pleasurable act. Right now, yeah, it would not be something that I would think about engaging in. I mean, because it's like if a guy can kill his mother and be like, yeah, I got to masturbate, I got to get in my feelings and get that out, get that release, I don't even know. Then booking a flight to Chicago, having beers with friends. I mean, if that's not crazy, I don't know what is. Because that is beyond crazy. I mean, Cuckoo, Cocoa Puffs, whichever one you want to call it, that's what that one is. That is, that is something that I would have never
Well, I won't say never, but you don't think that's what people do or would do
to their own mother. I mean, much less to anybody. I mean, to strangers. I mean, because people kill strangers all the time. But, you know, you're talking about killing your mother and then all this other gruesome stuff and masturbating to murdering your mother. On that note, I got to go on break. But before I go on break here, I mean, it is, I read that it's the International Day of the Girl. So shout out to all the girls and all the women who used to be girls. Shout out to y'all. Power to the women. No delay. Here's Smooth Drama. I appreciate and I celebrate the women, the girls. I'm down with y'all. I'm just not going to ear fuck you. This is Jean Grey. Since we doing girls here. That didn't sound right. This is Jean Grey, This World. My favorite
whipping boy, O.J. Simpson, as they had a little special on him, O.J. Simpson, Hidden Tapes. Because I guess they're celebrating the 20-year of O.J. being declared innocent. I mean, it is a milestone, you know, being the first black man to ever be found innocent of killing white people. And, you know, that just, in America, that doesn't happen. But it did. It was like that one time, you know, Haley's comment, February, not 29th, but February 30th. Just all the whatever. I don't even know. But, I mean, you know, as a conspiracy theorist, I would say, yeah, that O.J. trial, they must have been doing some very, very, very bad stuff across the world that they didn't want nobody to pay attention to. So we got O.J. Anyway, yeah, his the Hidden Tapes. Let me just cut through. So just in case you don't want to waste an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was, of the O.J., the Hidden Tapes. Like I said, O.J. Simpson. First black man to ever get off for killing white people, even though he was found guilty, you know, of their death in the civil trial so that they can bleed the money from him. Then fast forward to the fact that he was surrounded by, he didn't leave America, strike one. Strike two, talked about writing books. If I would have did it, this is what I would have done. You know, it's just like O.J. was playing. He was playing with house money, and he lost it all. Of course, he was hanging out with FBI informants who told him he should go ahead on and steal some stuff that was worthless to everybody but him, I guess. So now he's in jail for the maximum amount of time, where he got like 27 years or something like that. So yeah, that's O.J. If you're interested, that's O.J.'s story right there. Maybe he said something stupid in between, but yeah, those are the facts. If you want something else, I guess you can go ahead on and waste your time listening to the quite arguably in the history of black folks here in America, the dumbest black man in America. I, Mr. F to M word, have dubbed O.J. Simpson the dumbest black man on earth. Period. That's it. I'm saying, if you don't believe me, think about all the black people in America who have died because of, oh, you raped a white woman, or you thought about raping a white woman. This is a dude who was charged with killing, and she was actually dead, you know, because those were fake rapes. That didn't happen. We're talking about a real death that happened. Deaths that happened. And he didn't get charged. And he stayed in America and talked about writing a book. I'm sorry. Kind of stupid. And every month, every 2-3 months, I'm going to revisit this. Just in case you forget. Just in case there is a sellout Negro out there who's thinking along the lines of O.J. If you just so happy to listen to my show, or you have a friend who's like, man, you know what? I heard this cat talking about O.J. was the dumbest cat, and you know, you was talking about doing some stuff like that. Don't do it. It's a cautionary tale. Don't do it. Please. And if you want, you don't want to do something, Derek Fisher, coach of the New York Knicks, a lot of you know him as former backcourt mate of Kobe Bryant.
this dude here was hanging out with Matt Barnes, who Matt Barnes played in a lot of places: Orlando, Golden State, the Clippers, most recently, and he got traded to Memphis. So guess what happens is Derek Fisher had flew to California to see his children, allegedly. And he had Sunday off. Now, mind you, he coaches the Knicks, and he missed practice on Monday due to travel issues, they say. But he did make it to Wednesday night's preseason match, and he kind of had some scuff marks, whatnot, on him. What happened is he's hanging out with Matt Barnes' ex-wife. I don't know if they're divorced. Doesn't really matter. But him and Matt Barnes were actually teammates at one point in time. And so for him to be, and they were allegedly friends, hung out. So for him to be hooking up with Matt Barnes' wife is like a man, it's like a no-no. You know, it just, the man law. Don't hook up with the homie's girl. It just, I mean, if they would see the wife, they got kids. It just, even if there was no kids involved, it's like, no. If they had love, that's off bounds. That's out of bounds to you. Mind you, he's in the middle of divorcing his wife for 10 years. Now, I mean, I'm not trying to get into anybody's business, whatnot. I mean, obviously, this is public domain. But once again, a dude you know, a dude you hung out with, that was a teammate that you were friends with, and I guess maybe wives and kids hung out together. You're hanging with them. So, I mean, it's something where are y'all looking at each other all them years before, and then it manifests itself now? I mean, mind you, Matt Barnes' wife is a reality show star also. So, you know, for her, this is like, whoa, maybe people watch it, but I won't. I never have. And 99.999% chance that I'm not going to watch it. Maybe there's a 0.00001. I'm at somebody's house and it comes on and I see it. I was like, oh, that's her. Because I don't even want to say her name, much less talk about watching whatever she does. It doesn't matter. So Derek Fisher violated the friend code, the man code, and being that he's a coach, you're dating the wife, ex-wife of a player. That's just too much. Way too much. But this is what, and I guess further details. Matt Barnes, at first it came out that he drove 95 miles, but supposedly he was only 15 miles away at his house. And so his kid called him and said, "Mommy's friend Derek is here." And so he shows up, and that's when it goes down. And, you know, Derek Fisher made a statement. Personal and private matters are personal and private. We're obviously public figures, but we're at work. So I won't be commenting on anything that's happened personally or privately for me. Yeah. So, yeah, violating on all levels. Shout out to Derek Fisher for just doing what you're not supposed to do. I mean, because I remember, and I guess maybe I should stop, because, you know, people do have their bad moments. You know, because reportedly he's a good guy. And so, you know, going through a divorce, whatnot, emotional time, midlife crisis, maybe it's just one of them things. He not thinking straight. He not thinking how this would affect a friend, former friend now. I'll take a guess at it. How it affect the kids of said friend. Excuse me. As well as how it will affect his own children who have to see this in the paper. See, that's the one thing about being a public figure. It's nothing's off the table. So now your kids got to go to school and have to deal with the ramifications of your actions. Stuff that ain't got nothing to do with them, because little kids going to be like, I heard your daddy was with such and such, because I'm guessing some of these kids are watching that reality show that Matt Barnes' wife is on, and so it'll come up to the kids. Kids gets into fights, whatnot. It's one of those desperate and dastardly things that happens. Sucks to be him. And that's what comes with it. Sometimes you need to think when you're in that arena. And I'm saying, with all the women that are out there, why you pick the homie's wife? I mean, that's not just bad judgment. That is supremely supercalifragilistic expialidocious bad judgment. The fact that she's a reality star that's on TV, and she's going to be living this up, getting higher ratings at your expense, doesn't hurt either. Just a thought. And speaking of ratings, whatnot, there's a porn university. I never thought that you could have that, but apparently there is a porn university. So if you're aspiring to be in porn, there's a shot, there's a place out there for you. And it's Siffredi Porn University. And it's by a world-renowned Italian porn star who starred in more than 1,300 pornographic films, and such films, maybe y'all seen it, I know I haven't, such as Sexplosion in Ibiza, Total Reball, Buttman's Big Tit Adventure number 4, Ejacula 2, these are horrible name. Buttman and Rocco's Brazilian Butt Fest, and maybe it's Rocco. Rocco's Top Anal Models. Now, what he's doing is he started up Siffredi Hard Academy, which will, according to him, instill valuable lessons such as advanced sexual techniques, how to talk dirty, how to position yourself in front of the camera, and the proper method to do a Cincinnati bow tie. Now, I didn't even bother to look that up, because whatever it is, it's way too nasty for me. The Cincinnati bow tie. Anyway, and supposedly this porn university is for a reality show. So maybe Matt Barnes' wife will try to get on this one too. And thousands of eager individuals have applied for the opportunity to learn. And I guess they have stringent acceptance of because there will only be 21 students, 7 women and 14 men. And, of course, there is the curriculum. And here are some of the courses that this university is supposedly going to offer, like how to have a lasting and meaningful erection, crash course in anal, BDSM 101, advanced cake farting, which I don't want to be there for that one. Race relations and interracial pornography, the history of bukkake, mixed media for cream pies, the psychology of cuckolding, and Asian culture, understanding and appreciating tentacle porn. Yeah. Tentacle porn. I'm gonna pass on that one too. So if you're an aspiring porn artist, look it up. You might be one of those lucky 21 that get in and get on the reality show. But I'm guessing that you're going to have to ride a nice one and the whole, you're have to have some skills. Don't have to have some skills. And speaking of skills, University of Louisville is under investigation into allegations that former Cardinal staffer Andre McGee paid an escort service to provide sex for recruits. And I guess the allegations come from a book by a Katina Powell called Breaking Cardinal Rules, Basketball, and the Escort Queen. And I guess the book is alleging that McGee hired Powell to provide strippers and prostitutes for recruits and some of their fathers during a 4-year period. And I'm like, hold on. Now, and the fact that, I mean, you know, you're involved in it. Now, I'm like, okay, if they hired her to get the strippers and prostitutes for the recruits and the fathers, how is she supposed to be getting the book deal? Am I missing something? I mean, I think this is something that goes on all the time. I mean, as far as sex for recruits, I mean, normally it's about the money. I'm like, so if you're not arresting folks for the money that they're giving out, but you're gonna get on folks and investigate them, you're gonna put them up for some sex. I mean, I don't think none of the young men were complaining, and I'm gonna take an educated guess that none of the fathers were complaining either. Just a guess. I'm guessing the fathers were like, "What? Who wants to talk to me? Oh, she wants to talk to me about my son going to the University of Louisville. Okay, so when's a good time? Oh, she's coming now. Okay, all right. Yeah, it's a recruiter. It's like a recruiting visit." Oh, man, I'm like, come on. It's not like all parties didn't know what was going on. And I mean, the fact that she was hired to do it, and the fact that she did it, obviously, and now she's writing a book on it to capitalize on it? Nah, man, come on. No. That's just, no. I am not feeling that. You know, I hate the fact that you have these people who come out and they're trying to make money off of bad stuff they did. I mean, of course, y'all remember old Superhead who got paid for, you got famous because she sucked a lot of dick. And now you got somebody who provided the services. Yeah, I guess it's illegal. But you were part of the legal process, and now she's allowed to write a book and what? Just be good? She comes out clean? Come on. I'm sorry. I don't see how that's something that should be rewarded. She should not be able to make money because she was part of something illegal. I mean, am I wrong here? Am I the only one that sees that there's a problem with this? You know, hey, look, they have sex. I would guess, and I use that number again, 99.9999999% of the time this is what happens. It may not be prostitutes, but I'm guessing there's some young co-eds who are encouraged, probably don't even really have to be encouraged because they're in training for that hard groupie job that I talked about that is so tough. And that gets you, I mean, it's on the job training in college. It's like you're interning to be a groupie. So groupie interns are in colleges all over the United States. And so they're there. This one is just, they were paid interns. Anyway, shouldn't make money. I mean, just for something that you did wrong. And you writing a book about it. But maybe it's just me. I'm a hater. On that note, I'm going to go on break. This is the Strange Fruit Project. Special release.
So I figured it out. paper just to get me by. Puff the line, good to drink it. Fast forward time, I'm as busy as car waiting. Read a good book lately, yeah, I read all of them. Seen every movie, caught my fan when I thought of them. Flew a couple kites to the belly, my cousin riding them. Sent enough tricks for him to cover up the wall with them. Just to get him high, you dealt with baby mama drama. Shit, mom was shining, she said I got the gift. I put her on connected, she was vibing to the minute. So hard, left my only cop to catch the crib. Got me at the record, she said copping the shit again. So special, so special.
Together you got smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was the Strange Fruit Project special remix. Because it's so special. Now, of course, we didn't come to that part of the week where I do one of my favorite things. I talk about the dumbass of the week and the hater of the week. And, you know, we can't go without our customary dumbass of the week intro. There we go. Get it all out. And our dumbass of the week is it's a Mr. Dolan who fired a Pennsylvania man because he farted too much at work. See, Richard Clem started working at a Case Pork Roll in 2004 as a comptroller. Case Pork Roll. I mean, it's a job, but it's like, I don't know if you tell the homies where you work at, man. Oh, yeah, man, I work for such and such pharmaceuticals. Where you work? I work at Case Pork Roll. It's just funny for no reason whatsoever. Anyway, Clem, when he was hired, he weighed about 420 pounds, but he underwent gastric bypass surgery back in 2010 and said he lost about 120 pounds before he gained back like 10 or so. But he had some side effects, including extreme gas and uncontrollable diarrhea. So in 2013, his symptoms worsened, which caused a significant disruption in the workplace, according to the suit. His wife, Luann Clem, who began working at Case Pork Roll, I'm just going to say that. I can't help but not say that. 2008. Said the company president, Thomas Dolan, was always griping about her husband's gassy problem. And the suit alleges that, Dolan made Richard Clem work at home and said things like, "We cannot run an office and have visitors with the odor in the office. And tell Rich we are having complaints from people who have problems with the odor." And so he was fired from Case Pork Roll in Chitlin. No. Anyway, Case Pork Roll on February 28, 2014. And Luann Clem says she quit the same day because of the harassment and discrimination her husband faced as a result of his disability and resulting symptoms. Now, you know, on one point, I'm with him that that's wrong. It shouldn't happen to him. I mean, but as somebody who worked with somebody who has had that gaseous element going, you know, I had a guy who he would just cut uncontrollably. And, you know, that part in office is just like, you walk by, it's like, oh my God, are you serious? One of my coworkers, I'm gonna shout her out, Linda Methus. Shout out to Linda. I miss you. You know the homie see it. Linda used to sit in that corner and she would be spraying the Lysol. I mean, I'm guessing that she went through a few cans in her time in the corner with homie. And so I understand. I mean, in the office, it's like, yeah, you're doing a good job, man, but damn, somebody's dying in your cubicle every day, all day. And so you have a situation where, I mean, they say it's a disability, but hey, you had surgery voluntarily. So it's not a gas is not a disability. It's just the fact that, quite honestly, hey, you eat some stuff and your body can't process it, so it comes out as some hurricane wind that's not good for the rest of us. So yeah. Thomas Dolan is the dumbass of the week, but yeah, I won't say he's alone, but the fact that that gaseous element, that's just funny for no reason whatsoever. I guess it's a good thing that there's no smoking in the office and whatnot, because kaboom. Anyway, now, excuse me, on to our hater of the week. The hater of the week was I couldn't believe it. Blount County in Tennessee, they took up a resolution, and I'm serious. They took up a resolution begging God for mercy and asking that the deity not smite their community like Sodom and Gomorrah because of the Supreme Court's ruling legalizing gay marriage. So in this resolution, they're condemning judicial tyranny and petitioning God's mercy. And, yeah. Yeah. And it continues. We adopt this resolution before God that he passes by in his coming wrath and not destroy our county as he did Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities. So basically, what they want is for God, and they passed a resolution, which is a law, because, you know, God reads laws and resolutions. Yeah, allegedly, if God reads these resolutions, whatnot, and it's like, you know what, that's a good idea. And so they're asking God to smite somebody else, not them, because they passed a resolution. Now, if that ain't some hate for your ass, I don't know what is. That is beyond hate. You know, it's almost like that old movie, Team America. America, fuck yeah. We love America and fuck everybody else. Blount County, probably not a good place to go. Good old Tennessee. Hey, we pray to God so God will destroy y'all other innocent folks, mind you, who had nothing to do with anything, but let God get them, just so long as he doesn't get us. Shout out to Blount County. Y'all are very, very progressive. You know, the kind of people that we all should look up to. Sort of like a shout out to Ms. Drama, the state of Oklahoma, who are seeking to halt 3 executions after a drug mix-up. Governor Mary Fallon issued a last-minute stay for Richard Glossop after officials discovered that potassium acetate had been delivered on the day of his scheduled execution, as opposed to potassium chloride. So, and I guess what happened is, in an execution before that, they had used the drug to stop an inmate's heart. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, if you're killing them, does it matter which drug? And I said one drug has them on fire and they die. But, I mean, you're killing them. So, I mean, am I missing something? We stop executions. Not that I'm saying we should have any, but you're stopping executions because it's the wrong drug that kills them. It's like you it's like one drug that you should kill them with, because I guess potassium acetate had never been used in the U.S. for execution before. Like, it matters. I'm guessing the person who is scheduled to die, Mr. Glossop, I'm guessing he doesn't give a shit what you're killing me with. He's like, yo, please don't kill me. Whatever you're killing him with, he's going to die. This is the kind of foolishness that I'm talking about. Like, it matters. What? Why you're killing them? How you're killing them? You're killing them. They're going to die. The drug is kind of irrelevant. It wouldn't matter if you were cutting their head off with guillotine or firing, you know, because people have this thing, oh, we can't do this. I mean, but you're killing them anyway. If you're for the death penalty, does it matter how they die? Does it? Apparently it does to some. They're like, man, look, we can't be killing folks like that. It's inhumane. But you're killing folks. But, you know, we're desensitized like that. So I guess that's just the way it is. And on that note, I want to thank all the listeners for listening to me. This is another Smooth Drama episode. I'm Mr. F the N-Word. And I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
Ooh.